Are we ready? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And don't very often do this, but turn right to a scripture as an opening. Psalm 139 and verse 13. We look up at the top of the beginning there of Psalm 139, we'll see that it is a psalm of David. And the first verse says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. So David is, of course, here addressing God and talking to God. Verse 13, then, if we drop down to there, says, You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We are, aren't we? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amazing, for those of you who have studied this, some of you probably more than others, most of us do so maybe by reading a book. I've read some information on the human body, and I have a book I think I've mentioned before, You, the Owner's Manual, that kind of goes through. The amazing thing about that book is it talks about evolution, in a, you know, like we evolved from, but then it goes through and provides some amazing facts about the human body. There are amazing things. You know, the heart just keeps beating, doesn't it? We do things, you know, without thinking. The body just does it. We don't even think about it. You know, we fall down and we don't just fall and hit our nose, we put our hand down. It's just a reaction that we have, and the heart keeps beating. It, you know, the heart beats about 100,000 times a day. 100,000 times, 35 million times a year. In an average lifetime, 2.5 billion times our heart beats. Think about that. And it just keeps beating and beating and going and going. Fearfully and wonderfully made. According to Orthopedic Specialty Group blog, infants are born with approximately 300 bones. But as we grow, some of these bones fuse together, and by the time we reach adulthood, we only have 206 bones. Pretty amazing how God fearfully and wonderfully made us, isn't it? Every second, your body produces 25 billion new cells. Can't even fathom, can we? In 15 seconds, you will have produced more cells than there are people in the U.S. Think about that. There's anywhere between 60,000 and 100,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body. I when I read these statistics, I was just and thought about them for a moment. I was kind of amazed. There's anywhere between 60,000 and 100,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body. If they were taken out and laid end to end, they would be long enough to travel around the world more than three times. Amazing statistics and amazing facts. Pound for pound, your bones are stronger than steel. A block of bone the size of a matchbox, you know, can support up to 18,000 pounds of weight. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, as it says here in verse 14 of Psalms 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. Amazing how God made our body. And again, many books have been written on the subject. So, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but, like anything physical, our bodies are subject to breaking down, aren't they? Our bodies break down. Sometimes certain parts of them just don't function right. And most of us in this room, I'm sure maybe all of us, have at one time or another experienced our bodies or parts of it, this body that God made, the intricacies of it, the way that it works, the way that is far beyond what could have possibly just evolved. Far beyond what any of us, any human being could devise. It's just far beyond it. Amazing when you look at and think about how some of these things work and different parts of the body work together, and we need them all. We need the little toe, and we need the hand, and we need them all. Now, we can function without some of those members, but we need them to function properly. So sometimes parts of our bodies, and we've all had it, don't function. Something hurts. You know, sometimes, you know, I get a toothache and it hurts. And it's something's not functioning quite right. Sometimes I get a cold. Sometimes you get a cold. Sometimes, you know, you get injured. So we get sick, or we get into an accident, and we injure it ourselves. And the body is amazingly created in such a way that many of the sicknesses and injuries that we have heal. Amazing how that works, how things heal. You know, I've got a little scar here on my finger that once upon a time, many years ago, required some stitches, and I was hammering something and I missed. And as I always say, I know what to say when I hit my finger with a hammer. And I had to go get a little splint on it because it was busted up and broken. But you know what? It healed. It functions just fine. I have no problems with it. Amazing, you know, that God has created our bodies in an amazing way, in a wonderful way, and they heal. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes not. Sometimes our bodies don't heal. Sometimes some of the things, some of the infirmities we have don't heal. Since we are physical, our bodies will eventually wear out, and they won't heal. Today, I would like to take us on a brief tour of what the Bible says about sickness and healing. The Bible says about sickness and healing. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I gave a message on the subject of anointing, and I didn't get to finish that. It was a split sermon, and I always struggle with split sermons in terms of timing. Either they're too short, almost, you know, a little more than a sermonette, or their sermon length, and I have not quite, I guess I maybe haven't given enough of them, not quite figured out how to get the timing right on those. But in addition to that, I had a sermon that same day in Meadville, so I gave that message as a sermon there, so I did probably prepare a little longer, and didn't get to give it all. I'm going to try and finish that as part of this today for you, for us here. But so I'll try and give you the conclusion of that message. But I'll give you the conclusion of this message here at the beginning. You know, the conclusion of this message is that we are all physical. Our bodies break down. Our bodies are designed to heal themselves, but again, anything physical eventually breaks down, doesn't it? Anything physical eventually breaks down. God has and does heal. God has and does heal. We probably, many of us, have stories we could tell where God has healed. Healed in a miraculous way. Healed in a miraculous way. I don't know, maybe I'll tell you the story. In my story, some years ago, in 2012, I think it was, and I haven't really broadcast this and talked about it much, but I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. That was in 2012. I've told some of you about it. It's not something unusual in men. I've learned that since, some research that I've done. But it's not that unusual in men. And my doctor told me at the time, if you were, my problem was my age. I was in my mid-50s at the time, and he was concerned about that. He said, if you were 15, 18 years older, I'd tell you to go home and not even worry about it. And what I've learned is many men die of it, not with it. But he said it's a very slow-growing thing, but he was a little concerned about that. And he was kind of shocked about it as well, and that I had it. And so we devised a plan. He gave me about four options, and then he gave me a fifth one. The fifth option was, we can just keep an eye on it and watch it, kind of make sure it doesn't spread and progress. So we did, and I told the doctor at the time that I believe in divine intervention. And he was real concerned. He said he was concerned that I was going to leave and never see him again and have problems. Because he said, when people often do that, and I said, well, no, I'll let you continue to diagnose me. But I said, I believe that God can heal me. And I said, he may use you to help. And so I went ahead with a couple of natural things. And, of course, I was anointed, prayed about it. I should say I prayed about it and was anointed, and went back 6 months later for another biopsy, and they couldn't find anything. And they never accepted that. They never accepted the fact that they thought, you know, and I've for insurance reasons. My first doctor moved away. My second doctor, that I had on the subject, said they found a needle in a haystack when they found it, and he was concerned that it was still there. And then, for insurance reasons, I had to go to a third doctor, and he didn't accept it either. He said, "No." He was convinced it was still there, and he had me go do a prosthetic MRI, which the person that did it specifically told me that would show where the cancer is and what's happening with it, like it's there. And then I was scheduled to go back for a follow-up visit. They called me about that follow-up visit and said, don't worry about it, that they couldn't find anything. God does heal. Now that's a story that I have. and I'm convinced that God healed me from that. Now, I still have some issues. It's not cancer-related, but God healed me from that. I'm convinced of it. And God does heal today. And if God doesn't, decides not to heal, it's for our benefit, or maybe for the benefit of others. We'll see a little bit of that as we go through the message today. We'll see a little bit of that. So let's begin our tour today. Let's begin our tour in Genesis. So we just kind of take a tour. We'll go through a number of scriptures. In Genesis chapter 27, we'll start the tour in the Old Testament, and then we'll go to the New Testament for a few things. And then we will toward the end of the message, finish the last message. Let's look at this subject of sickness and healing in the Bible. Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, that he called Esau his son and said to him, 'My son,' and he answered him, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death.'" So here we see that Isaac became blind. Isaac became blind. Now, some of us struggle with some of those issues. But he was old, and his eyes became dim, and he could not see. Isaac became blind. We see that in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. I'm sorry, Genesis 44. We just covered Genesis 27. Genesis chapter 44. And in verse 1 and 2. It's 49. I can't read my own writing. Genesis chapter 49 says, "Jacob called his sons and said, 'Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days.'" Gather together, verse 2, "and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father." Jacob here was sick. Isaac came blind. Jacob was sick, and he wanted to tell his sons these things, because we can drop down to verse 33. He told his sons these things. Verse 33 says, "When Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into his bed and breathed his last and was gathered to the people." Jacob died. Jacob became sick and died. So we see blindness, we see sickness in the Bible and throughout the Bible. People became sick, and I'm sure throughout his life he had illnesses that he healed from. But Isaac became old and blind. Jacob was sick. And he died. 2 Kings chapter 13. Again, we're going to move through some sections of scripture here. 2 Kings chapter 13. And there are many stories that we could tell each other about these things, about sicknesses and God's intervention for us. 2 Kings chapter 13. In verse 14, Elisha, faithful prophet and faithful servant of God, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. So Elisha became sick. So sickness is not something uncommon to man, something that we all experience from time to time. Elisha became sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him, wept over his face, and said, "O my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." Drop down, interestingly enough, we'll drop down here to verse 20 and 21. So in verse 14, we see that Elisha became sick. In verse 20, it says, "Then Elisha died." He became sick. And then he died, and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. And so it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. So God used Elisha here, at least his bones, even after he was dead, even after he had died. So this story of illness, his death, is here for us to learn even from to this day, isn't it? Sometimes, as I said earlier, sometimes God doesn't heal, and sometimes it's for our benefit, and sometimes it's for the benefit of others. And we can learn from this incident, this to this day. Could God have healed Elisha? Restored him back to physical life? Absolutely he could have. Absolutely he could have. Certainly God can do that. But he used his bone to revive someone else. In verse 20, but verse 20 says that he, Elisha, died. So we see God's great servants getting sick, getting blind, as we saw Isaac and becoming blind. And as we saw with Jacob that he got sick and he died. And we saw with Elisha that he became sick and died. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. We'll shift gears here a little bit, in the Old Testament anyway, and talk about, we've talked a little bit about sickness and that people become sick. And again, this is more of a biblical tour. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. You know, I asked the question, could God have raised Elisha? Well, certainly he could have. He raised someone else instead, using when they touched his bones. Now, Genesis chapter 17 is a story that we're all well familiar with. Some years ago, we were in, I think it might have been Hagerstown for the Feast of Tabernacles, and we took a bus up to Lancaster and to Sight and Sound Theater and saw Sarah, a Love Story. It was interesting, had some issues with some of the things, but overall it was an interesting show to watch. But we know the story here in Genesis 17, verse 17, verse 15 says, "Then God said to Abraham, as your wife, for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and also give you a son by her." And in verse 17, and I suppose many of us would have this reaction, it says, "And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old?" And I suppose we would have that reaction. "And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Again, that That was an amazing thing. But God can do amazing things. And that's an interesting story, again, that we all know. Let's turn to chapter 18 and verse 14. 18 and verse 14. Even make a note of this in my notes, because if I don't, I'm going to give this in a few weeks in Meadville, and I have it written down, verse 4, but it's verse 14. It says, it asks a very important question: is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I think we all know the answer to that, don't we? We all know the answer to that is a resounding no. Nothing is too hard. He can take Abraham at age 100 and Sarah at age 90, and they can have a son. They can have a son. And so nothing is too hard for God. God can heal us, can take care of us. We can put our care on Him at any time. God can heal. Doesn't always do it with our timing. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. It's not always in our time. And it's not always the way that we would want it or the way that we would think it should be. But He does, and He can, and heal, and nothing is too hard for Him. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. There's, as I was preparing and going through some of these things and some of these scriptures, there are enough scriptures and there's enough information on this subject that we could probably have numerous sermons on it, because there's a lot as we get into this particular subject, and the subject of healing and the subject of sickness. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 25. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20, but start in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Verse 25 says, so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he had cast in the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Sometimes these health trials we go through as well are tests and trials for us. Verse 26, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and you do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord your God who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. It is God that heals us. We talked a little bit about that, I think, last time. I think we got to that. That it is not, you know, when we anoint someone, it's not in the strength of our hands or the oil that is symbolic of God's Holy Spirit. It is God. I am the Lord, God says here. I am the Lord who heals you. But one of the things that we have to consider here in terms of dealing with the Israelites here is that he did have some conditions here, didn't he? He did provide for them some conditions. The conditions were there in verse 26, if you heed diligently to the voice of your God, the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes. So God did place conditions here on the healing. If you do these things, he said, then, now again, this does not mean that if God does not heal us, we have to qualify that always, because it's important for us to understand and to realize that if God does not heal us, doesn't mean that we lack faith, that we are doing all these things wrong. Sometimes we think that. There's a scripture, and I didn't write it down. I think it might be in John 9. Maybe we'll get to it a little later if I have time. That talks about that, indicates that the disciples were concerned. It was one of the miracles of Christ, but were concerned about, you know, and I don't remember the exact occasion, but they were concerned about the fact that the question was, well, what sin did he commit? And God and Christ said there was no sin involved, really. Sometimes it's not because of our sin or something that we did wrong, but I think it's important for us to realize that here in Exodus chapter 15, certainly, there were some conditions with this lack of disease and this lack and with being healed. So let's go now to Exodus chapter 23, back a couple of more verses. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. Exodus 23, verse 25. Continuing here in the Old Testament, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from your midst. Something, am I doing something, or is that something rattling the speakers? I will take sickness away from your midst. Implication here. You know, you'll have, you know, blessings from diseases, from not being diseased. God will intervene for us. God intervenes for us. How many times has he intervened for you that you don't even know about? How many times has he intervened? How many times, you know, have we not been sick? Sometimes we focus on the fact that we do get sick. Sometimes I've thought, when I get sick, I've thought, you know what? God, let me be sick so that I can be more appreciative when I feel good. Sometimes, you know, it's being sick is not a fun thing. And sometimes when we're healthy and we feel good, we need to be grateful for it, and we need to recognize, I'm personally convinced, God intervenes for us at times and in ways that we don't even know. Oftentimes, in ways that we don't even know. How many times have we come upon an accident? Amazing, these sound men. Way, as I always, I always think it's way, way above my pay grade. How many times, you know, has God intervened for us in ways that we don't even know? How many times, you know, have we been a minute short or a minute ahead of an accident and we don't even know about it? Or that God intervenes. I'm convinced personally that many, many times he intervenes for us in ways that we don't even know. I think he does. I know a number of years ago, we remember the, it was, I think it was like the mid-90s when there was an airplane crash in Pittsburgh on top of the hill there about 5 miles from the airport. That was a flight coming back from Chicago. And I flew back from Chicago that night. About that time, but I flew into Cleveland. And I've been glad ever since that I did. We lived in East Palestine at the time. My airport of choice there, because it was about 35 minutes away, was Pittsburgh Airport. I don't know why we chose to fly into, I flew with a couple of colleagues. I don't know why we chose to fly into Cleveland, but we did. And could God have had something to do with that? Quite possibly he could have. I think he very well may have intervened in a way I'll never know. Maybe I will someday. But I'm sure there are those kind of things in our lives that we don't even think about and know about. God does intervene in ways like that. Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. So God does intervene for us and heal us in ways sometimes that I think we don't know, and sometimes in ways that we do know. Psalm 30, and again, this is a psalm of David. Verse 1, a song of dedication of the house of David. I will extol you, O Lord. You have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. So God healed David. Now there are a variety of ways that we can be healed. We, of course, can be healed physically. Oftentimes those are the things that we ask God to heal us with, but we ask him to heal us emotionally as well, mentally, and of course, spiritually, that we can be spiritually healed and our eyes can be open and we can see. But God healed David. Says he, David said here, O Lord, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. So David was healed. Now, David eventually died. I'm going to ask your help with this. I've heard it said, and some think David died at about 70 years old, you know, which would have been premature at that time. I've never been able to prove the age of that death. Maybe some of you have and can, and if you have, I'd love to have that conversation with you. It's just something I've heard along the way, and heard that some people think, but I've not been able, again, to prove that he died at that age. I heard it in a message, and at some point, I'm going to ask that individual where he got that information, and see if I can develop that a little bit. But David was healed here. Psalm 103, we read this in the last message a couple of weeks ago. Psalm 103 in verse 1 through 3. Psalm 103 in verse 1 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Very encouraging chapter in Psalm 103. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Now again, sometimes we read a scripture like that and we think, well, he doesn't heal me, or I did this and this happened, and and he didn't heal me, but God does heal. God does heal. Now, it may not be in the way that we think, but, you know, the spiritual part of this sometimes becomes a lot more important than the physical part. And, you know, sometimes it may be, you know, a healing in the grave, so to speak, and when we're resurrected. But he does and will heal all your diseases, David said here. So God does heal. So that's kind of a little tour, partial tour, really. There are a lot more scriptures that we could cover in the Old Testament. But let's go to a couple of scriptures in the New Testament and then move on to finish a couple things from the last message that I want to make sure we go over today. Let's go to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 9. We've gone through some scriptures in the Old Testament, seen where people were sick, and God is the healer, and God heals. And David said, God healed me. In Matthew, chapter 9, and verse 27 through 30, we see a lesson here that we can learn. Matthew chapter 9, in verse 27. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27 says, now when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows. Their eyes were open. So here we see one of Christ's miracles, of course. And we could look at many examples. I think there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 miracles that are described and listed in the Gospels. For something in the neighborhood of 40 miracles. And those are just the ones listed. I'm sure he did many more. You know, the end of the last verse of the book of John says that, you know, if they wrote everything down that happened, there wouldn't be room enough on earth to hold all the books that could be written. It's an interesting scripture there. So he probably did more, but those are the ones that we see. But here we see another important element. Two things, faith and belief. Similar things, really. Faith and belief, but different. And he said, according to your faith, in verse 29, let it be to you. They believed that Christ could heal them, and so that's a very important thing. So healing is something that is important to us, and it was important here. At this period of time, and Christ healed many people, and he commissioned others to go out and heal as well. Luke chapter 9, we'll see this in Luke chapter 9, and verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 9 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over the demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. He gave them power and authority. Luke chapter 10. We see this again. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Now after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." Verse 9 says, and you know, numerous things there between verse 1 and verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you." Very important to recognize verse 19, though. It says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So it was by God's authority, by Christ's authority, that he sent out these 72 by 2. It was by Christ's authority in chapter 9 that he sent the 12 out to cast out demons and to heal. So God does provide and give authority for others to be involved, but to heal. But ultimately, it is not us, it is God. It is God that does the healing. Let me look at the time here. There are many, I'm going to go on to the latter part of the sermon. There are many other scriptures we could read and go through in the New Testament. There are many healings mentioned in the book of Acts. I'll just give you some scriptures. You can write them down. And many other scriptures that we could turn to. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. You can write that down. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. Chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Chapter 9, verse 36 through 42. Chapter 20, verse 7 through 12. Chapter 28, verse 1 through 9. And again, there are many other items that we could talk about and think about. You know, is the use of doctors forbidden in the Bible? That's a question we can ask ourselves. The answer to that is no. The use of doctors is nowhere forbidden in the Bible. And that's a subject matter that we could discuss a little bit more. Won't take time to here today. We read a statement on that last time. I'll read it to you again. It says, one thing to note is that it's important for us to understand that faith in divine healing does not prohibit us from seeking medical advice and treatment and doing what we can to help us recuperate from an illness or an injury. And I read that statement out of some of our literature that is on life, hope, and truth. So it's important for us to recognize that. We're not going to spend much time talking about that, but certainly nothing wrong with us doing what we can when we're sick and ill to try and help us to get better. Nothing wrong with that at all. And certainly, you know, we do that and have always done that. When we break a limb, we don't sit around and wait for God to, you know, tie our shoes in the morning or come set our arm when we dislocate it and break it. We go to a doctor, and there God has given those who have the abilities and have learned to do those things, and we take advantage of that. James chapter 4, gave a message on anointing a couple weeks ago, and there are a couple points that I wanted to finish in regard to that, and it fits very well with the subject of sickness and healing. Chapter 5, in the message last time we covered Christ's sacrifice. We covered that we use olive oil and why we do it. We covered the laying on of hands. And we covered several things here in James chapter 5. You're all there. I didn't go there yet, so I'll get there in a second. James chapter 5 and verse 13. I'm going to read through that again, and then we'll talk about a couple things with regard to that. Specifically, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So here we see this instruction on anointing. Last time we covered four things that I wanted to cover. Last time we covered pray about it yourself and have faith. This time we'll cover the third and fourth items. The third item being trust in God, and the fourth item being take action, what that you need to take, or do your part, take your action. So one of the things I wanted to cover with regard to this is that we need to trust in God. We need to trust when we're sick and afflicted. We need to trust God's answer. We need to trust God's answer. Trust that He will answer according to His wisdom, not necessarily according to our desire. Oftentimes we want to be healed. We're hurting. We're not feeling good. Naturally, we want to be healed, don't we? We want God to heal us. But we have to trust His decision. That's a difficult thing for us to accept sometimes, to trust God's decision. But we need to learn to be able to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think Mr. Myers read this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But I think it's important in terms of this point for us as an example that Paul gave us here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Paul here said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." Now, we don't know what that was. Some people think it may have been his eyes. Some people think it may have been other issues, a messenger. "But a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing," Paul said, "I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, and for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you.' Therefore," Paul said, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So sometimes when we go through these things, we're physically weak, but it strengthens us in a more important way, and that's spiritually. So it's important for us to be spiritually strong. So sometimes we need to just trust God and trust His answer. And then number four, the fourth item that I had there, again, this goes back to the previous sermon. Fourth thing, sometimes, the fourth thing is, not sometimes, but we need to do our part. We need to do our part. This is an action step. James, back to James chapter 5. This is an action step. We need to do our part. Do what we can What's our part? James chapter 5 and verse 14. What's our part? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's our part. That's our part. Now, there are some other things that we'll talk about just a little bit, but the instruction here in verse 14 isn't, you know, put it on Facebook and ask people to pray for you. Not that that's wrong. It isn't, you know, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I don't want to. Now, you know, if you have a sniffle and it can wait till morning, that would be nice. But if you're ill and you need someone to pray for you or come anoint you and it is 3 o'clock in the morning, guess what you need to do? You need to call us. You need to call us. It's an honor for me to serve as an elder in the church. Didn't ask for the job. I always try to remind God for that, God about that every time I'm asked to speak. Didn't ask for the job. Got to have your help. But it's a responsibility that we have to anoint the sick. Your responsibility is to let us know that you're sick. Let us know that you're sick. And, you know, what is sick enough to be anointed? When you're sick. All I can say is when you're sick, call to be anointed. Call us and let us know. I heard a minister say that, you know, the first thing you need to do is call for anointing. Before you ask me to send out a prayer request, you need to be anointed. Now, again, I thought that was an interesting way to put it, but I'm just encouraging all of us that if we're sick, a responsibility that we have is to call. Peter said here, I'm sorry, James said here in chapter 14, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. So when we're sick, we have that instruction there. there are provisions there. There are times when we may not be available. If you were to call Mr. Myers right now and ask him to anoint you, it would be pretty difficult from where he's at. He is in McKinney, Texas, or Big Sandy today, maybe. Be pretty difficult. So God made provisions for that. And let's look at that. We didn't take a look at that last time, I don't think, in Acts chapter 19. God made provisions for, you know, if the way is too far or we're away, God made provisions, and you all know where I'm going. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. I should have told you this. Hold your place there in James chapter 5. But Acts chapter 19, verse 11 says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So we can at times anoint a cloth, but really that's kind of for us to decide. You know, when it's just not possible or practical for us to drive a couple of hours maybe, or, you know, we have a schedule that is just not cancelable or whatever. You know, I know in my case, I had a call early one morning and I had to be at work. You know, and I had that responsibility and obligation as well. And so an anointed cloth. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we do send out anointed cloths in certain circumstances, and when distance or whatever might be an issue, but we decide that. But the example here in Acts chapter 19 is that of an anointed cloth, of something of a cloth. And as it says, it handkerchiefs or aprons or parts of them were brought from his body to anoint the sick. So we sent out and can send out, and God made that provision for us to be able to send out an anointed cloth. So that's certainly something that we can do. You know, we can, you know, try eating healthier diets, getting more exercise. Those are things we can do as well. We can try that and do that. Back to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse 16 now. So one of the things we need to do when we're sick is to call for an anointed cloth. James chapter 5, verse 16 now says, now after these things, after you've called for an anointed cloth, you know, we're to pray about it ourselves. We're to have faith, trust God, and then take action. Get anointed. Then confess your trespasses to one another. Again, I think Mr. Myers mentioned last time that this has to do with being open with one another, not necessarily coming to church and saying, "Hey, I committed this sin this week." That's not what it's talking about. It's just, you know, being open, being candid with each other, not trying to come across like we're perfect. I don't think any of us are. So confess your trespasses to one another, and we have this responsibility. Pray for one another that you may be healed. So we do have that responsibility and obligation as well, to pray for one another, to pray for others. We regularly get prayer requests from headquarters for others around the world. And when one of us is sick, a prayer request is sent out. So we're to pray for one another and pray for each other's health. Verse 16 finishes, says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'd like to read that verse from the New Revised Standard Version. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. God hears our collective prayers. He hears our prayers. So that's our responsibility and our obligation, is to pray for one another. All of us, that's all of our duties and obligation and responsibility, that we pray for one another. So brethren, God, we do get sick. We do get sick, don't we? God has made us fearfully and wonderfully. But we do get sick. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's make sure that we trust Him, have faith in Him, and take the necessary actions so that we can be healed, if that is God's will. We didn't read that scripture, and I have it down, but I didn't go to it, in Matthew chapter 26, the example of Jesus Christ following God's will. So let's recognize, again, that all of us do get sick. God does heal. Let's have faith and confidence and trust in God for His will to be done.